Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Breathe in, breathe out. Never mind. It was time. Number nine. Let the lies. Feline. With a death wish. Be right. Didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on. We're destined.
Rockets, you know, Houston Stressin', or Texans commenter, which is what you can type in on Twitter to find him, but Houston Stressin' is kind of his moniker. He talks Texans, so they both joined Lance this morning because John is out cosplaying as a professional golfer in some tournament, a member guest tournament. So thanks to those guys for joining us in the morning. Sean and I are here now, and I was thinking about this because of what happened yesterday at Daikin. And it'll be a roundabout wave, but hopefully you'll get it. Think about this city, Sean, currently, as far as the players for all the major teams. We don't have a great nickname for any of our guys right now, right? Like, we don't really call KD. He has a great nickname, but it's kind of a mouthful. What, Easy Money Sniper, is that what it is? Slim, is that what it is?
Well, Easy Money, I think that's his Instagram, right? And, so, yeah. Slim Reaper.
Slim
Reaper.
KD is the
Tarantula
one
back in the day.
Yeah, but we only really call him KD.
Yeah.
So no one is known really by a nickname. The Texans don't really have anyone who we call by their nickname. It's just CJ, I guess, Stroud or Stingley or Will Anderson. I mean, WAJ, you might write it out because you need more.
Yeah, that's an acronym.
Acronym isn't really a nickname.
It's its own thing. Because no one actually says, like, people actually say KD. People don't go WAJ when talking about Will Anderson.
It's Will Anderson. It's a fine name. You can say it. It's easy.
Yeah.
You don't really need to shorten it unless you're writing about him on Twitter.
The Terminator? No, wait. He was Area 51. No, he was the Terminator. I forgot which one. It was like, I remember it was very mixed because it was like the Terminator was like his actual nickname and then he wore 51. So people were like, Area 51.
Yeah,
it's like,
I don't know.
Those
that
are
he
two different things.
Yeah, I'm not sure that he adopted the Area 51.
I saw Disclosure Day. I know those are two different things.
Yes, I may have to see that at some point before it's out of theaters. But I bring it up because the Astros have a couple pitchers with nicknames. You've got Hunter Brown with Diesel. Sometimes he's referenced that way, but it hasn't really caught on. No one's calling him Diesel on a regular basis. Pete Lambert has a nickname. And now I think he's pitched well enough that I might want to adopt it because it's simple, it's easy. It's a very baseball thing to shorten part of his name into a nickname. His nickname is Lambo. And Lambo, I mean, I wouldn't expressly call it dealing. That's not really That's not really what he's about, but he's been effective, and he did, and he was effective to a great degree yesterday. Seven innings, only gave up the home run in the seventh as he closed out his outing, and the Astros get another win. They win the series against the Tigers. I called it a getaway day yesterday. It was a getaway day for the Tigers. The Astros continue their homestand, but the Tigers had to get out of town, so that game was at 110. So, Lambo, what do we think?
I think it's pretty solid. It's funny that it's Peter Lambert. I think that also you said he was, you're not sure if you'd call what he was doing dealing. Would you say that Lambo was cruising yesterday?
I think
maybe?
He cruised through seven innings. I think he did cruise. That's a good way of putting it. He cruised
it's an
through
afternoon
seven.
Cruise.
Yes.
In the Lambo.
Yeah. Sometimes you want to drive at a high rate of speed. Sometimes you just want to be seen. Hey. Cruise in your Lambo. And that's what Peter Lambert did. We talked about it going into the game that at this point, there are two guys that are at least solid that you, at least I didn't have concerns about. Eric Eddie has now slipped to, you never know, his last couple starts.
Yeah, like mostly fine.
But the
but
month
like,
of June has not been good
there.
For Eric Eddie.
Yeah, they're, it's like, ugh.
We're getting more. Now, he hasn't been terrible, but we're getting more into previous Spencer Eric Eddie, the seasons before this one, before he had established himself as one of the better pitchers in baseball. Yeah. Tang, certainly not.
No, Tang, it's...
Imai, not a chance.
Yeah, those two are both like kind of a little bit like the hot streak is over.
Yeah, and we're back to, oh, no. Well, Tang started off well. Now he's regressed. And
water's found its level.
Now Imai is back to what we were accustomed to before he had a recent run of good outings. But Lambert, another seven innings. He's been solid throughout. He continues just to give you a chance to win, and the Astros were able to win 4-2. Jeremy Peña hit a home run. And it's Lambo and Diesel. Those are the guys I feel best about. But Lambo is the nickname I feel best about, and Lambo got it done. So they get the win. That's good. Lance talked about Altuve struggles. If you want to hear that conversation, you can see it, actually. Hear it and see it on YouTube. It is the video of the day at our YouTube channel. But Altuve has not been going good. So it is interesting that Lance brought it up, because the big story in the world of sports is another older legend and his problems, and that is Cristiano Ronaldo. We'll get to that, because Sean, through Prize Picks, currently not it's not a sponsored ad, but
watch the space.
And Sean used Prize Picks to make the Portugal game more interesting. We'll find out. I already know how it went for him, because I know the bet and I know how the stats went. But we'll find out his experience watching Portugal and DR Congo go at it, because he put a little down on the legend that is Cristiano Ronaldo. And I imagine, just like all those Portugal fans, Sean may have been disappointed, but for different reasons than they were, because Portugal wound up tying that match 1-1. It was in Houston. We had Glenn Davis on earlier. He called the game for the World Feed. So we'll hear from Glenn Davis on, well, actually we heard from Glenn Davis on that match. We'll hear from Sean on his experience as Portugal, another big team, another big country, played an African country who in some ways may not have made this World Cup if it had been expanded, or if it had not been expanded to 48. That was DR Congo, and also with Spain playing Cape Verde. Those are two rivals in Spain and Portugal who kind of had the same experience against two smaller African nations. And Sean was deeply invested in some ways.
Very invested.
In that match.
And it's my squad, you know?
Oh, yes. Sean has a group chat. Some of his buddies were at the match. His buddies were squarely on Portugal's side. And Sean had to find the Cape Verde flag in his...
DR Congo.
Yeah, that's right. DR Congo in his iPhone. To make sure he let his allegiances be known to the group chat, as it was a Portugal crowd, but more a Ronaldo crowd. As Glenn Davis told us, there are a lot of CR7 jerseys in that crowd.
A lot.
Certainly outpacing any other jersey. So Portugal fans in some ways are like LeBron fans, because there weren't all Portuguese people there. So it was a lot of, hey, that's my guy. I'm gonna wear my Ronaldo jersey, just like NBA fans follow their favorite players from team to team.
I can Ronaldo guarantee you there's at least too. Two people in there like that that are not Portuguese fans.
That are not of Portuguese descent.
No.
And are rooting for CR7. He is that type of star. Messi certainly is as well. They had much different experiences in their first World Cup match of this tournament. So we'll talk about that. You certainly can join us. 713-780-3776 is the number. We'll talk some World Cup. We'll talk some Rockets as well. Because one name that people were speculating on, it's on the board, but really off of it. Thanks to Brian Windhorst reporting this morning about a star guard who will be a free agent, but likely not for long. So we'll get to that and more when we come back.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Didn't mention this, but I did want to get to it. As far as the Astros are concerned, Josh Hader finally didn't have a great outing in his return. Gave up a home run. It was inconsequential in the results. They were up 4-1 at the time, but he finally gave up a bomb or even just a run to McGonagall. But it didn't matter. He recovered, and the Astros won that one 4-2. Two get within 500. So we're back in that area where can they find a way to get to 5 games under, or will they immediately drop back to 8? Because that has been the kind of what they've done the last month or so. So they're back to 6. Can they get to 5 as their homestand continues against the Guardians, who they won the series against when they went up to Cleveland earlier this year. So let's see if that success can continue. Imai's on the mound, so take that for what it is.
This is normally, the 6 games under .500 range. It's normally when the Mario Kart blue shell comes for the Astros and they get sent back down to 9 or 10.
Yeah, the positivity, the hope of, hey, maybe we can get something going, and then your starting pitcher gives up 5 runs in the first 2 innings, yeah, and then
we've just seen
in
this
a different
before.
Direction. Yeah, we'll see. Let's see.
We'll see how it goes this time.
Let's see if he's due, if he can get out of the first inning without being a disaster, and then maybe we have a shot.
It basically, for Imai this year, is very good start, or can I get out of the first inning?
Just an absolute disaster.
Or part of a no-hitter.
Yeah, he's part of something historic because no hitters, despite how many times the Astros do it, it's still a historic thing.
Yeah, he got a game ball or something.
Pat on the back. Whatever you do when you're the starting, whatever you get when you're the starting pitcher,
firm handshake
in a combined no hitter, firm handshake.
Good job, sir.
I guess that would be a spotless job. What I didn't mention, I forgot, when Fromber was in town, of course, with the Tigers, and it was the day before he's supposed to go on the mound, or maybe it was the day of. They asked Espada about Fromber and the game plan. He goes, well, Fromber sometimes, he pretty much said, well, sometimes Fromber's a little shaky, and we got a game plan for him. Now, that game plan didn't really play out. The Astros wound up winning the game, but I did find it interesting that his former manager was like, well, sometimes he can get a little shook. And we think we can have something for him. It did not play out that way. But either way,
I love a revenge game with the coach, when the coach is involved.
Yeah, he said
it's like Mike Brown versus De'Aaron Fox, where he's like, oh, I got this.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, he said it with a smile.
I know how to handle this.
He was like, about Fromber, right, guys?
Sometimes. That's what he should have said. Yeah. It's just like, we all know how Fromber is.
Yeah, and maybe we can take advantage of it. Yeah, so that was something I neglected to mention at the time, that Espada, like the rest of us, knows that it only takes a little thing to get Fromber off his game. You mentioned Mike Brown. The Knicks parade is going on right now, and Mikal Bridges wore a jersey that wasn't his own, and it had the number 4 on it. So I did think he was wearing one of those fan-made jerseys that the Knicks fans made of De'Aaron Fox because of how how much of a contributor he was to the Knicks winning the series. Because I could never see the back. Now, there have been some former Knicks to wear the 4, like Larry Johnson wore it. At least that's according to AI Overy. I thought he wore number 2 as a Knick, but maybe he didn't. Derrick Rose wore the number 4. So it's not exactly a who's who. So it made me even think that Mikal Bridges was leaning into the joke, but I never got to see the back of the jersey. I don't think he was wearing a Fox Knicks jersey. I'm sure it was some former Knick. I just thought, hey, I'm too much on the internet when I assumed that he was wearing a De'Aaron Fox Knicks jersey. But that parade, no, see, Larry Johnson did wear the 2. I don't know why. Well, AI overview is terrible. That's why it told me 4. So it's either Derrick Rose, who did wear number 4, or some older player.
It's actually, I think it's either current or very recently current. It's Peckham Dottier is what
is he on the team?
NBA is saying. He might be.
And maybe. He wanted to represent him? Maybe. That would make some sense. It's one of his teammates.
Yeah.
As opposed to De'Aaron Fox, which would have just been funny.
That would. I don't
think NBA players will disrespect other players on the court, but I think for the most part, that's just left on the court. It would have been a sign of great disrespect to wear that jersey.
The most we got, it's not even directly disrespecting the opponent or like another player on the team, was LeBron wearing the Ultimate Warrior t-shirt after beating the Warriors, where it's like that's the most where he's like kind of throwing a little bit of a shot at the team, but it's the team name. You know,
it's not even an individual.
He wasn't like, thank you, Harrison Barnes, in the 2016 finals.
And getting yourself.
Ezeli. We couldn't have been here without you.
See, he got that title, and then the Warriors were like, all right, Harrison Barnes, we're going to go get Kevin Durant.
Good point.
So look what you wrought, LeBron, if he had decided to go after Harrison Barnes. Look what they did in response.
Yeah.
They went and got KD. So there another thing regarding that parade is there's a tweet from someone who I guess was just monitoring the police scanner and said he heard over the scanner, we've lost Broadway. And he goes, what the F do you mean you lost Broadway? So apparently it's wild out there as the Knicks fans celebrate their first world title in like 50 plus years.
It's like the flashback scene from the TV show with the zombies.
Walking Dead?
No, the current one. It's also like Walking Dead. Last of Us.
Oh, The Last of Us.
Okay. I know. They're not zombies. They're infected. Whatever.
Thank you.
Whatever.
Fungi. Thank you.
Who cares?
Mushrooms.
They stagger around. Some of them run.
Sure. We'll stick with zombies. It's fine.
They move in packs. They used to be people.
Yes. They're everything.
They're a lot like zombies.
They're a lot like... They're zombie... In every way, except they're not called that. You're right.
Maybe it's more like the flashback scenes in I Am Legend, since that happened in New York.
Sure. Except...
Anyway, it seems
except
like...
It appears the zombies, or whatever you want to call them in I Am Legend, were more intelligent than what's going on out there. Because if you've ever seen the alternate ending of that movie...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the zombies actually look at Will Smith's character as the villain because of him picking off all of their people.
Good point. Life's about perspective, even
that's
if
right.
you are, I don't know.
From
diseased,
a certain point of view.
I don't know.
It's always from a certain point of view.
And apparently the sequel with Michael B. Jordan is going to incorporate
the
that
alternate
ending
that everyone hated.
Everyone hated. That's why it's the alternate ending.
Yeah, but
then they threw it on the DVD and 20 years later people liked it.
But because, you know, there's money to be made.
Yeah.
A lot of you didn't see, that's what actually happened. That's why we can bring Will Smith back and so on and so forth, mm-hmm. and we keep it moving. For people who don't know, the alternate ending of that movie, I Am Legend, the main zombie comes and gets his wife or his partner back. Will Smith gives it to him, and the zombies just walk away, and the human beings are still alive. As opposed to what happened, Will Smith sacrificed himself for, I forgot the woman's name, and and the young child, and they go to a sanctuary. People like a
the original ending's pretty good too.
Yeah, Will Smith dying in a happy ending.
Throwing a shoulder into the
yeah, going out like a hero. Yeah. But we will see how that all plays out once that movie hits screens. Okay, so Sean, you put some money down on the great Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes.
Portugal ties Congo 1-1. Portugal scores early. Congo evens it up before the half. They have a great goal celebration. And then second half goes scoreless as Portugal disappoints in their opening match. We have the first round of games all out of the way as far as the opening games. Everyone's played their first game. Now we're on to match day two, at least for the teams who are getting on the field today. They play their second games, everyone, today. But you put some money down to make it a little bit more interesting. What did you bet on?
I bet on Cristiano Ronaldo higher than 4.5 shots.
When did you know that bet wasn't going to cash in?
Probably like after, I think the first half. First, like as they're walking to the locker room at halftime, I was like, I don't know. He is not involved at all in this game. He's just, I don't know if they aren't getting it to him or if he can't get open to get the ball and then eventually take a shot.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what went on other than his lack of activity. He is not someone who should be a striker. When he was still a great player, he was a winger, but he can't be that anymore. So they put him up top, and he is not effective in that role, particularly at his age. There are moments where if you could position it as if he was a little bit more unselfish, there are opportunities for other players to get shots if he would have done the unselfish thing. But for Sean's bet, it was better for him to get in the way,
be as selfish as possible,
and get in the way and take these ill-advised shots, which he did on all three of his shots.
Yeah, I was going to say he did put up three.
Yeah, and so, they're all, I would say, ill-advised. He tried; they weren't anywhere close to the goal.
Yeah,
but he got in three, like in the second half, but not enough for Sean to cash in, and not enough for Portugal to wind up winning the game.
I think my because I thought, you know, in response to Lionel Messi scoring a hat trick the night before, Kylian Mbappe with the brace, Erling Haaland with the brace, I thought there was some, all that happened on Tuesday, and Wednesday they play, Ronaldo plays. I thought, you know, there's going to be some level of like, I can still do that. I'm one of the guys, still two guys, and I didn't think he was actually good enough to, like, I didn't put any money on him to actually score. I just thought he would put up the shots. I think my miscalculation was, I don't think he's good enough anymore to, like, take enough ill-advised, like, he can't create his own shot enough to be ill-advised. Like, it actually needs to be served up to him, and he can't really, you know, create those chances off ball either. I think he just stinks, like, or not stinks, but he's just washed up.
Yeah, someone said this morning, tweeted us, he's Wizards Jordan.
I mean, even that's like, Wizards Jordan scored 20 a game. Like,
he still scores goals in Saudi Arabia, but at the highest level of international soccer, mm-hmm. even if it is against the Congo. He's not that guy anymore.
Yeah, that's part of it, too. I was like, if there's any team, or if there's a team that he can, like, you know, it's not like I had him going up against the best back line of all time. It's like, it's Congo. I don't know.
As Glenn Davis pointed out this morning, these guys, even though they play for countries we don't give too much respect to, just because we haven't seen them on the world stage very much, these guys are still playing in leagues across Europe. And if I start to go down Congo's back line, Would they be playing in better leagues than the Saudi Arabian league that Ronaldo plays in?
They would be the best back line in the yeah. Saudi Arabian league.
Yeah, so you have to it's too late now to take it into account, but something else to take into account.
Yeah, and Harry Kane held up his end of the bargain.
See, the giant problem for your buddies who are Ronaldo stans and anyone else
is that Ronaldo's 41
in that building who was wearing a Ronaldo jersey, who isn't of Portuguese descent. All the other stars of the sport have had wonderful starts.
Literally.
Harry Kane, 2 goals. Messi, 3 goals. Haaland, 2 goals. Mm-hmm. All of
Balogun.
Them. Mbappe, 2 goals. I heard what you did there. Still, the fact, yeah, Balogun, who is the star striker for the U.S., he wasn't a star until he did what he did against Paraguay, but still, he is expected to score goals for them, and he did it. It's just that when you stack up all these guys that the general public knows about, they did their part, and more than that. And Ronaldo, ooh, woof. And you've got Thierry Henry talking about Portugal needs to score goals. You don't need to be the one to score them.
Yeah.
So you've got even the greats of the game who, you know, would be maybe less likely to get after him are suggesting that he's playing selfish soccer.
Yeah, I think we talked about it yesterday where it's like, are we sure he starts, whatever. And I was like, I don't think you just push the I've benched Cristiano Ronaldo button before he even plays. Like, if you're going to do that, don't bring him. I think now, especially with the draw, and I think they did the other two teams in their – no. Whose group are they in? But anyway, they still – like, now they're in the spot where the next two group games that they're in, like, they need the help. They can't have Cristiano Ronaldo – like, they can't drag Cristiano Ronaldo through the group stage
I thought they could. They're in a group with Colombia and Uzbekistan. Colombia scored a great goal late to finish off Uzbekistan. The Colombian crowd wasn't happy about their team's performance because most of those people don't, I would imagine, it's like the rest of us, don't know that much about Uzbekistan, and they were still in the match and giving Colombia trouble late trying to get that tying goal or equalizer, as a soccer aficionado would say. And then Colombia scores late, spectacular goal to go up 3-1 in Mexico City, and that Colombian crowd went crazy. And one of the announcers, I think his name is Warren Barton. He's from the UK, I believe. He got hit with something and was bleeding. And his play-by-play person was like, "You're bleeding from your head." She was talking about it on the broadcast. Like, "I'm fine. Let's keep talking about the game." So he's like, "It's no worries. I think someone might have thrown something because they're upset, not at him specifically, but upset like, about what was going on, and it hit him, and he had blood coursing from his head." But that's just the World Cup, everybody.
It's the World Cup. It's hard to throw it. Like, I guess they threw something like behind them or something, and it went into the press box.
I don't know exactly how it happened. I just know his play-by-play partner was like, "Oh, Warren, you're bleeding."
Yeah, I mean,
so
Portugal, they might have to do the. Like, they might have only gotten one game out of the Ronaldo, like, "Hey, let's try to give the old-timer one last run." And honestly, this is doing so much damage to Cristiano Ronaldo's legacy. What people will remember him as, like, will be, I think we're verging on, like, yeah, he kind of, you know, was all right. He hung around too long. It's like, no, but whatever. 7 years ago, he was still one of the best players in the world. It's just now I don't know why he wants to keep playing for Portugal and like demand all this stuff. I guess he's Cristiano Ronaldo. That's why.
Yeah. Have you seen him? Are you familiar with his work?
At some point, though, he has to be too bad to listen to.
Sometimes you get the guy who walks away. You walk away from the game before the game walks away from you.
Yes.
He is not that guy.
No.
It does not help Portugal's cause that Messi is still at the top of his game.
That's the thing. It's like if, I don't know, I guess, I don't want to do a LeBron Jordan thing, so I won't. But it's like having the guy you're in the GOAT debate with have the longevity argument at the same time as you.
Yeah, man.
Makes it look way worse.
And he already has the one thing you both won Ballon d'Or. You both won Champions League. You both have been monsters in Europe. Ronaldo even has a Euro title. I mean, he left the game early and he didn't play very much in the final, but they still won that title. So
rings,
he even has that. While Messi, of course, has Copa America. The one thing Messi has that he doesn't is the World Cup. And Messi, as I think I said either yesterday or earlier this week, Messi is still the best player for Argentina. While the conversations about Ronaldo are, man, Portugal would be much better if he stopped playing. So it is all tough for the CR7 heads and CR7 himself. Jerry, you want to talk World Cup games? I see you. We'll get to you. Anyone else want to follow Jerry? The number is 713-780-3776. I do want to remind everyone that tomorrow we will all be at East River 9 for our soccer watch party. You can come watch Team USA with us at Birdie's Ice House starting at 10 a.m. You can register to win a $500 gift certificate to Republic Boot Company. Just find our promo team so you can enter for your chance to win. Winner will be announced. The winner will be announced at 5:30. And the winner will not have to be present. So if you need to head on out because, you know, you got a life, but you still want to sign up, you can come by, sign up, and we'll get to you if you're not there when we announce the winner. All right, Jerry, we'll get to you when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Okay, let's get to Jerry Held through the break. Thank you for that, Jerry. You want to talk some World Cup? What's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, I'll be the first to admit that when they expanded the World Cup from 32 to 48, I honestly thought the game would be diluted. But other than Curaçao, this first round of games has just they've been amazing. I love it. Hopefully, the Cape Verdes of the world and the smaller countries, they can play three games. By the time they play the third game, they kind of worn out that they're mentally checked out because they're already eliminated. But with the way they expanded, hopefully that third game means something for them. And then last thing, I've had friends come in from all over the world, basically meeting at FanFest and going to the games here in Houston. And again, how dare these billionaires gaslight us and say, hey, we need $1 billion to renovate NRG, when fans from all over the world are saying, hey, this stadium is amazing. This stadium is beautiful. It's huge. It's gorgeous. You know, the stadiums in Europe, they're smaller, but they're still compressed. Like, fans are, like, next to each other, and they got 60,000 people in there, but we're complaining about this stadium. I think NRG is nice. Leave it as is. We don't need to renovate. Because if not, we're like the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're always renovating. Now they got to play in Orlando for a year because they're renovating again. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Yes, that has been a part of the discussion, mostly online, because you see fans from across the world come here and marvel at these stadiums. And even before the World Cup began, when they were in cities that weren't hosting World Cup matches but were the warm-up matches, they would talk about the grandeur of these American stadiums in comparison to their own. And depending on who you root for in the country you're from, your local club may be playing in a 30,000-seat stadium. That even goes for some Premier League teams where they don't reach the levels of an Old Trafford or the Emirates or the Etihad. Not every stadium are these billion-dollar buildings that, as you heard Jerry talk about renovations here with the Jacksonville Jaguars, that are backed or are housing big clubs. So there's always going to be this churn of adding the best. You watch teams from the lower divisions who rise to the top divisions in the sport or in their country, and sometimes their stadiums have to be renovated to come up to the standards of the top levels. And that's not our problem here. Our problem here is owners seeing them as money-making ventures. And if the league tells you, hey, you want to host a Super Bowl, then you've got to either improve your stadium or get a different one. Some owners are like, you know what, I'd love to have Super Bowl here. Sure, let me go ask the public for the money. Others will do the renovations themselves, and then some others are like, you know what, I don't need to host a Super Bowl. According to Stephen Ross, He was told by the NFL that his current stadium isn't up to snuff anymore, despite all the renovations that have been made over the last 10 years or so at Hard Rock, where the Dolphins play. It is built, well, it was built, and then they built things around it. Like, they host a tennis tournament there. They have the F1 course that they can, move things around for that to be something they can host. So it's a world-class facility. It hosted a national title game this past year, and yet not good enough for a Super Bowl. And I think the NFL works in concert with their owners to put these things out there so the public goes, you know what? Having a Super Bowl would be great. What do we need to do? Because I think they all think we're dummies. And the Texans, we know. They either wanted to renovate Houston Stadium, as it's called right now, will be known as Reliant after the World Cup is done with, or build a whole new stadium. And then you see all these world travelers come here and go, this stadium is awesome. I don't know how the McNairs feel about that because if you're a fan of the Texans or just don't want to pay for a new stadium, you're like, if these randos from Europe think it's great, why do we have to do things? Why do you want us to pay to improve the facilities that seem world-class to all these people who are new to America and think this is a great place to watch a game?
Yeah, I do wonder what the, like, even for a NFL owner, say you're like an NFL owner and maybe you're having trouble getting public funding for it, and you're like, so wait, I have to pay like $600 million to like have a marginally better stadium, and yeah, maybe can build a entertainment district or, you know, like some sort of money-making opportunity around it. But it's like, if I'm dropping almost $1 billion just put shovels in the ground here, and like, how long will that take for me to make it back? And then, you know, for some of these cities, like, listen, like Kansas City, you're doing a great job hosting the World Cup. You have a great stadium. When you build a new one, like, you might get a Super Bowl, you know, like you,
yeah,
maybe.
Does anyone, like, if you have a
maybe cup, one,
like if you have a retractable roof or it's a dome, but does anyone really want to spend time in Kansas City, Missouri / Kansas?
Yeah, I still think Vegas is going to get February. The bid over you.
Yeah. I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah. So. Or it's like Final Fours. It's like, I don't know if Final Fours bring in that kind of money. I don't know. Maybe it's just because we're in Houston and we host big events like this, and it's a spread out city. So if you're not near NRG, like it's different. But like when the Final Four is in Houston, like it's not that big of a difference. Like, you know, like I don't notice it really, other than the signs.
Yeah,
and the occasional like people walking around in Florida Atlantic merch.
And maybe that's due to where.
Yeah, that might just be a here thing. But yeah. It's like I don't know if it's this giant event that they make it out to be that. Yeah, I wonder if the pendulum swings back where, honestly, owner cheapness is like, actually, yeah, why do I need to build a new stadium? These people should be grateful for what they have. Go watch a match in some of these, you know, I don't know, in Germany, because that's where Freddie's from, and he's been blown away. He was blown away by Auburn Stadium.
I'm sure Jordan Hare is spectacular, honestly. I'm sure it is, particularly if you don't know what we do here when it comes to building stadiums, even for college teams.
Or what happens in that stadium in the fall.
Well,
he would like it a lot less if it,
when Mercer comes to town.
It's like, or when tonight.
Or when they're playing Mississippi State. Yeah. It's a little less majestic when it's not messy on the grounds.
When Jackson Arnold's overthrowing Cam Coleman.
Yeah. And forcing Cam Coleman to get the hell out of there. I can't play here. At least not for this quarterback.
Yeah. There's a minute-long mixtape of great moves that
he
the ball's not even close.
That if a normal quarterback was there, these were easy touchdowns. So, yes, Messi being in that stadium at that time, and just the fact that you have the World Cup in these buildings is probably adding to the aura of these stadiums. I wonder what Freddie would feel like, or any of the other fans who are just mesmerized by Houston Stadium. What would they feel like if it's noon and the Titans are in town? How what would the vibes be?
Yeah,
man, does everyone know the game started? I think that would be the vibe from a visitor. But this is a perfect spot or perfect time and a perfect event to highlight this stadium because the vibes are high. And if anyone who saw the video floating around of, now it wasn't in a stadium, but it was a watch party, and the Congolese fans, the guy got it. There was like a group of six of them, six fans, and then they're in front, and then you had all the other fans. But those six had a guy with the phone who got a notification of the goal before the goal was scored. So they all got up maybe 5 seconds or so and were excited before it actually was seen by everyone watching whatever projection screen they had up there. So you watch this group get up and celebrate, and then the rest got up to celebrate the goal, as it is just a spectacular event that gets people excited. Unless you were Portugal and watched like a group of like 10 Congolese fans celebrate amongst all the Portugal fans. I think that was in Portugal. If you told me there were 10 people from the Congo in Portugal, I'd be like, are you sure about that? But there was at least a group of fans rooting at this, like, it looked like in a giant square.
Yeah, like it was a town center of Porto.
Yeah, it was a watch party, and they were centered, and they were surrounded by Portugal fans, and they all just get up and celebrate the goal scored that tied the match. And as you might imagine, all the Portugal fans were not thrilled. I just try to think about that in our terms. Like, if there's a watch party full of New York Knicks fans, and when the Spurs won game 3 and the watch party was in New York, would that group of Spurs fans get out of there alive celebrating the way the Congolese fans did?
Maybe it's different because the Spurs lost after this, but that one guy wearing the Dennis Rodman jersey.
No one wanted a piece of him. Yeah, he was walking. He would have got out fine. But for just a regular old Spurs fan residing in New York who wanted to go to a watch party, and he had a group of his buddies get up and celebrate once the Spurs won, that's tough. Yeah. That's tough. That would have been tough. That would have been a tough situation. But it appears the Portugal fans took it on the chin. They're like, you know, it's okay. It's not great that you guys are celebrating, but we're going to leave you alone.
Hey, we kind of hate our team right now too. So
yeah, that happens in soccer where it goes so poorly for the favorite that they start rooting on the underdog because they're giving their country a match and they're so pissed off about the performance that they start cheering. It happened once with Mexico and the U.S., where the U.S., I don't know if it was a friendly or a qualifier, the U.S. held Mexico to a tie, I think, and the Mexican crowd was cheering on the U.S. just because of how pissed they were with Mexico's performance. It wasn't a loud cheer. I mean, it didn't go crazy, but they were like, oh, look at that, applauding because their squad was disappointing them so much. As far as the games, Jerry, I agree. It is good to see the smaller nations give these big nations a match. We saw it here in Houston yesterday, and we also saw the opposite where Germany took apart Curaçao. So, as you mentioned, so we've gotten both of those scenarios, but for the most part, we are getting matches that are at least competitive. Sometimes they're not compelling because of the way the smaller country has to play to stay in it, but we're getting moments, and that's all you can ask for through the first round of games. All right, Keith, you want to talk NBA? We'll get to you when we come back. There is a star guard who will enter free agency after rejecting his player option, but that doesn't mean he's leaving his team. I know it was someone that some people thought could help the Rockets, even though his play doesn't really fit the Rockets' style. We'll talk about that when we come back, and we'll also get to Keith. You can join him, at least join us after him, 713-780-3776. It'll be hour two when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Celebrate America's 250th with Dish. For a limited time, get an extra $250 off when you sign up. Call 888-ADD-DISH or visit dish.com today. and use code DISH250 to claim your $250 savings. That's 888-ADD-DISH. Offer ends August 12th. Terms apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.